All right. Good to see each of you here this morning. Great to see all the fellowship going on there with everybody. Please take your blue hymn books and turn to song number 45. Song number 45, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. If you're able to stand, let's do so as we sing. Song number 45 in the blue hymn book. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Craig Helly.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you have created and given to us. Lord, may we be honoring in it today to you. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of meeting in your house and the freedom to worship without fear of persecution. Many of our brothers and sisters throughout the world do not have such freedoms. May we never take them for granted. Pray, Lord, that you would give the words for Pastor to speak today. That would seal to our heart those things that we need to walk closer with you. We pray these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Song number 101. 101. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. 101.
announcements go, I forgot to mention this in the Sunday school hour, but Lord willing, I'm going to try to do another church picnic slash get together for July 4th, but we're going to try to do it on July 3rd, that Saturday, because July 4th is on a Sunday. So we'll just try to get together. I haven't gone over checked to see if we get a pavilion yet. Lord willing, I'll try to do that tomorrow. If not, we'll just do it here again at the church, just a little get together for July 4th. We'll be doing Lord's Supper tonight, so anyone interested in partaking with that this evening, it'll be held tonight. Also, this morning, Lord willing, we'll be going live streaming this morning, so don't do nothing crazy out there, because everybody on YouTube will see you. So, but we're doing it this morning, Lord willing, for Brother Les and Sister Nancy, that to be able to partake of our services this morning and this evening. So just continue to keep them in prayer. Also, Scripture Memory Books, I got some more coming in, so if you don't have one, Lord willing, they'll be here Wednesday. Also, the book I mentioned, those that weren't here, somebody donated the money to buy the books that I mentioned on Wednesday night by Dr. Terry Cromer. So if you're interested in having one, Lord willing, that'll be here by next Sunday. I highly recommend taking one and reading it. Like I said this morning, it's only 13 pages long, but it's one of the best books I've read on Christian living. It's right on. So Lord willing, we'll have those next Sunday. And also, real quick, this morning, somebody brought something up to my attention. So I need to, if possible, all the men that are members here after church, I need to see you downstairs to discuss something that was brought up to me. So if you're a male member here, just real quick this morning after the service, we'll meet downstairs just to discuss something that somebody brought to me. But that's all I have. Oh, also the church bylaws, Brother Ralph mentioned newer times. They're back on that back table. Lord willing, I'd like to vote on those Sunday, June 20th. So not this coming Sunday, June 13th, because we got a wedding afterwards. June 20th, we'll vote on those bylaws. Again, if you have any questions on it, please let me know, and I'll go over it with you. Amen. I believe that's it.
As far as that church picnic goes, I hope maybe not quite so much food, but the kinds of food that we brought this last weekend be a blessing if everybody brings those again, and we'll have a good time. Looking forward to that time. All right, let's turn to number 160. 160, are you washed in the blood?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Let's turn the next page over. We'll sing number 163, My Redeemer, 163. If you're able to stand, let's do so again.
Do you have an anchor this morning? Do you have an anchor? And that anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He's my anchor and I'm not my anchor myself. I'm glad He's the anchor that that my soul is connected to, that my salvation. Listen here. One of the reasons I believe that you can never lose your salvation is because you can never keep it. I believe that you can't lose your salvation because I believe you can't keep it. There's no way you can keep your salvation. There is no way you can keep your salvation. Forgive me for taking off my jacket. I'm a little warm here this morning. But, you know, last 3 weeks, or this will be the third week, 3 weeks in a row now, been just this thought in my mind of why has the church lost its power? And again, I'm not referring to Ray Street Baptist Church. I'm referring to the church as a whole. The true body believers of the Lord Jesus Christ in these last days that we're living in, the Laodicean age. And before I forget, we don't need to have that meeting with the men after church, so we can cancel that. But in these last days that we're living in, why has the church lost its power? Now, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about the gift of healings. I'm not talking about miracles. I'm talking about power that moves the heart of God, the power that the church used to have in the olden days. Why has the church lost its power? And so last 2 weeks, we've looked at some of the things that I believe is causing our church to be hindered as far as losing its power. And one of them was we've neglected the word of God. We've laid aside our armor. Last week, we looked at, I believe, that we're failing to preach the things that matter, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and His word. We've laid those things aside and we've taken on more of a battle with things that really don't matter when it comes to eternity. And so I believe the more I'm looking at this thing and trying to study this thing out, and the Lord's laid upon my heart a few of the subjects that He's given me of why the church, I believe, has lost its power, is I believe that there is, like I said the last couple weeks, diversion techniques by the enemy. Now, have you ever heard this saying or this, I don't know what you want to call it, good cop, bad cop type of situation? Right? So I was a police officer for a number of years, and that would happen quite often, whether intentional or not, but this good cop, bad cop type of thing in order to try to get the criminal. And you would have a bad cop come in, or during interrogation as a detective, you'd have a bad cop come in and say, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't get this right. We got blah, blah, blah. And then you'd have the good cop come in and he would act like he was the friend of the criminal to try to get him to confess, to try to get him to bring forth the information that they want. And it appeared that the two police officers were at each other's, they were battling each other when in reality they were working together to bring across a certain purpose that they were trying to obtain with this individual. And I got thinking about it this week, and I think that's exactly what's going on in our society is the good cop, bad cop usage of the enemy. All right? The good cop, bad cop. And you'll have Christians that are on two sides of an issue. Yet it's an issue that really doesn't matter when it comes to eternity and when it matters of having the power that comes from God through the Holy Spirit. Tonight, this morning, is a message that kind of smacked me up right side the head, and I'm still trying to work on it daily because I think it's been ingrained in us. Some of us might not have this issue, but with me, it's something that I struggle with on a consistent basis. But I believe that God takes it very, 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 very serious. And this morning, I'm going to talk about one of the reasons I believe the church has lost its power, the church has lost its influence in the community and in society, is because the church continues to murmur and complain. When you look up the word complain or murmur in the Bible, God does not look too highly upon His people that complain or murmur. He takes it very, 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 very serious. And I think that's one of the reasons today why we don't see God moving like God could move is because within our own personal lives and our own personal walk with Him, there's a lot of times where we complain and we murmur. Now, what does the Bible say in 1 Thessalonians? It says, in everything, give thanks. You see, thanks and complaining cannot dwell together. If the Bible says in Thessalonians, in everything, give thanks, then there never really should be an opportunity to complain about something because you ought to be giving thanks for it. Now, this morning, this message is rough, but I believe it's needful. Take your Bible, look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 1. It is so easy just to complain about something. So easy just to complain about something. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. Paul tells the brethren here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant." Paul's telling the church there at Corinth, he says, "Listen, I don't want you being ignorant about some of these things that I'm getting ready to tell you." He says that ye should not be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I ask for your help now. Lord, I don't know how to go out, come in, Lord, dear God. I pray just that you give me wisdom, guidance, and direction, Lord, to say exactly what you want said, Father. Lord, that we would grow closer to you, Lord, that we apply these principles to our life, Lord, that we would just, Lord, be faithful, and Lord, have power in our life, dear God, that this world needs to see. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul gives a warning here and four things he talks about, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. He says, "Neither be ye idolaters, neither let us commit fornication, neither let us tempt Christ, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." A serious thing. Murmuring is listed there with idolatry, fornication, and tempting Christ. Take your Bible now and look at Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 1. Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 1. Complaining. Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 1. Numbers chapter 11 verses 1 through 3 here. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." The word complain or complaining or complaint means this: expressing grief, sorrow, or censure. It also means finding fault, murmuring, lamenting, or accusing of an offense. Now, there are some times in the Bible where some individual that was saved, especially Job, you'll find it in the book of Judges, and sometimes in the Psalms, where an individual that loved God poured out their complaint before God in hopes that God would answer their prayer and meet the need that was upon their heart, the grief that they were struggling with. And I think that's fine and okay with God if we pour out a complaint of grief or of sorrow to God about what's something that's heavy on our heart. I believe God's got enough to handle that, and I believe God understands when we're in those types of situations.
What I'm talking about this morning, though, is a situation like we find here in Numbers chapter 11, verse number 1. And the first sentence says, and when the people complain. And when the people complain. Well, I'm not going to go look at it right now. But if you read in Numbers chapter 10, it appears that they're complaining because they've been on a three-day journey now into the wilderness. Moses has got things set up. They're heading into the wilderness. His father-in-law just gave him some advice. His father-in-law's passed off the scene now. And Moses, by God's direction, by God's leading, has led the children of Israel into the wilderness. And we pick up in chapter 11, verse 1, and when they finally settled down to rest, the people complained. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you in a position of complaining because you have not yet come to a place of rest in the Lord? Is it because you're trying to handle a matter or a situation in your own strength rather than turning it over to God? You see, it's easier to complain about something than to turn it over and leave it with the Lord. These people have come to a place of rest, yet as they come to this place of rest that God's offered them, they're complaining about it. Notice first that they're complaining displeased the Lord, it says there in verse 1. A definition of displeased means to disgust or offend. These people weren't at this point, at this situation in their walk with God into the wilderness, as they settled down to rest, as it says in chapter 10, verse 36, and when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." They're not committing fornication. They're not worshiping false idols. No, they're merely complaining unto God and to Moses. And it says here that it displeased God. It offended God. It disgusted God because of their complaining. Proverbs 24, 17 through 18 says this, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." We find in Proverbs that another thing that displeases God is when we take pleasure in when our enemy falls. Take your Bible, look at Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Complaining to God, complaining about a situation, complaining about those that may appear as our enemy, and then being glad when they fall, and God says that God sees it and it displeases him. Look at Romans chapter Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. The Bible says here, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation." Basically, dissimulation means hypocrisy, hiding behind a false pretense. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" Look at verse 20. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You want something to strive for in your Christian walk. You want something to strive for with the Lord that I believe will bring power into your life and power into the church, is to apply those things there in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. But instead of sometimes applying these things, instead of sometimes let love be without dissimulation and abhorring that which is evil and cleaving to that which is good, or being kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly kindness, in honor preferring one another, we'd rather complain or murmur. And brethren, I say it this morning because it's so easy to do. How easy, and I hate, I always use this illustration. How, and the Lord, since I've been studying this thing, it's like every time I go to complain or murmur, it's like the Lord is like, hey son. When driving, I know some people in here, you're just like me when it comes to driving. There's a lot of things to complain about when you get behind the wheel of a car. Right? There's a lot of things real quick. You don't even have to go 2 miles down the road, and you've already been provided 30 opportunities to complain about how somebody's driving. Right? I'm just being honest. And that's one thing God's been dealing with me about is in every instance that something wants to come out of my mouth, because it's so been so ingrained in my mind to automatically, when things, listen, it's been so ingrained in my mind, when things don't go the way Chris Welton wants the things to go, I complain about it. When that person doesn't go fast enough in the car, or when that person doesn't go slow enough in the car, or if that person doesn't make the turn quick enough for me to get where I need to go, automatically out of my mouth, I want to say, what are you doing? What is taking you so long? Why did you make the turn that way? Why don't you have your brake lights on? Automatic. And brother, you say, you see, we fail to realize God sees that, God hears that, and that is displeasure to our God. Numbers chapter 11, it says the people complain, the Lord heard it, the Lord sees it, and it displeases him when we murmur and we complain. And please understand me this morning, I'm not sitting up here again saying preachers just pounding me. No, this is Bible that God wants us to get, because I believe that's where the power's at. It's so easy to complain. Thursday. Thursday, I got a phone call probably like 4 o'clock from my uncle. If I would go over to the hospital, his wife, her dad was dying. And he asked me if I'd go over to the hospital I had to go to the hospital Thursday. And we went up there, and her dad was, he ended up passing away on Friday. But one thing I was thankful for as I was walking through the hospital, I was thinking of it because it's a brand new hospital. I was thinking of how thankful I am for the medical care we have here in the United States of America. Now listen, I know there's a lot of things that we could say about our healthcare system, we could say about our doctors and all that, but we have a lot to be thankful for when it comes to our medical system and our medical doctors and nurses and the system that God's given us here in this country when it comes to medical care. You know, when I was down there in Dominican Republic, the Medicare down there is pretty rough, pretty bad. When I was down there one time, a young man that I was with, the missionary I was with, his son was riding a motorcycle, and he fell off the motorcycle, and he busted up his knee pretty good. And so I had to take him down to their hospital, and we had to walk around the hospital trying to find someone to take an x-ray. You know, I don't want to do anything that would make the Lord angry or the Lord to be displeased with my walk with him. And I believe that the things that really do matter with God are the hardest things to put into practice. I really do believe that the things that really, really, really matter with God are the hardest things to put into practice. You see, it'd be easy for me this morning to get up and just go through some historical talk about the children of Israel or something that may help us intellectually when it comes to knowing the intellectual side of the Bible. But I believe what God puts the emphasis on, what God looks at, what God hears, what God sees, that's kind of where I'd like to put the emphasis in my life. And when the Bible says in Numbers to where God hears somebody complain, his people complain, and it displeases him, it displeases him to the point that the Bible says in Numbers chapter 11 that he consumed the uttermost parts of the camp with fire. To me, that's a pretty serious thing with God. Imagine the attention it would get here in Catasauqua if we were as a little town trying to follow God, and all of a sudden individuals in the town of Catasauqua started complaining to the leadership or to God about certain things, and all of a sudden word got around that the uttermost parts of Catasauqua were beginning to be consumed with fire, it would get our attention pretty quick. But see, because things don't happen like that in the New Testament, people think, well, God just will overlook it and God just doesn't care about it. No, God, he's still the same God as he was there in the Old Testament. Yet God has given us this point of in time to where his grace is being shown through Jesus Christ. But that doesn't give us an excuse and a right and make it okay to therefore then think that it's okay to complain or murmur and that it doesn't still displease our Savior and our God. It does displease him. My life displeases God, my Savior, when I begin to complain about things that I ought not to be complaining about, but I ought rather to be thankful for it. There's been situations before, and I've heard brethren talk about this and say that they've gone and they've gotten a flat tire. They've gone out to their car in the morning, get ready to go to work. It might have been cold out or something, and the days are already starting off in their mind, it's starting off on a bad step because they walk out the door and there's a flat tire that they now got to deal with. And they're probably going to be late to work. And I've heard brethren say stories like this to where they get the tire fixed and they get on their way on the road. And as soon as they're down on the road, they all of a sudden see this huge bad wreck. And they wonder in their mind if God prepared and allowed that tire to go flat to save their life from that accident that occurred if they had been on time. See, we automatically may look at it like, oh, I got a flat tire, when in reality we could say, oh, thank you, Lord, because you have this here for a reason for me today. Maybe you're trying to slow me down a little bit because you're going to bring someone across my path in 15 minutes that I'm going to have an opportunity to talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of a sudden, when things go negative in our life, we automatically just want to complain about it. It may be coming from God. Do you understand this morning? The negative thing that occurred, the bad thing that occurred, might actually be coming from God to help you. God might just be looking out for you like Balaam's ass, trying to get you from a situation you're getting ready to go do that's going to cause you a problem. God used Balaam's ass to take Balaam and ram him up against the wall to where he hurt his leg. But it was for his own good. Because that angel was right up there with that sword in his hand getting ready to take him out. And God used something that hurt him to get his attention. You see, sometimes we look at hurt as a bad, evil, wicked thing coming from Satan. When in reality, God uses those things because he loves us. True love hurts. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Why are we missing power? Because I believe there might be times in our life where God's doing something, we think it's the enemy, and we start complaining about it, and up there in heaven, God's looking down saying, I'm the one that's initiating this thing for your own good, to help you, and you're complaining about it. I'm trying to spare your life in this situation. Brethren, this is a hard, you want something to do for God? Strive this week to not complain or murmur about anything. I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. Okay, this is what you do for God this week. Don't complain at all. That's a pretty tough task. That's a Let's forget the week. Let's try one day. How about all of us together as a church, everybody that's here this morning, let's try tomorrow. I'm going to take a quiz next week now. See if you're honest, would you give yourself a grade? A plus, A minus, B plus, B minus. You can give yourself a grade next week. You're going to grade. It's going to be a self-grading test. Tomorrow, all of us, then here that are saved, try not to complain tomorrow about anything or murmur about anything. And if you do, just make it right with God. So you'll probably go and just, that preacher, why has he got to say something like that? It'll help us have power. It'll help us have power. It'll help us have power with God. It'll help us have the power of God upon our life as we go as lights in this dark world. You tell me something's not, you want to get somebody's attention? Don't complain about nothing. They're going to be like, what is the matter with you? You at the water cooler at work and everybody's complaining about everything going on and you're sitting there and you're happy and you're smiling. You're like, yeah, God's good. You ain't got nothing to complain about? No, I ain't got nothing to complain about because it's Monday and I'm not allowed to complain about anything. Yeah, see? Tuesday I'll start complaining again. I'll be off the hook Monday. Now Monday don't take off and just sit in your bed all day either now. You got to get out there and talk to at least five people or something. Okay, well, I didn't complain about nothing, but I stayed in bed all day watching movies. No, that ain't going to work. Or you got to interact with people, or else it don't count. It's a false test. All right, don't complain. God help us not to complain. God help us not to murmur. God help us, like the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. It's also hard to pray. It's also hard to complain when you're praying without ceasing. If you're praying without ceasing, like the Bible says we ought to do, and we're to give thanks in everything, there's going to be a very small chance that we're going to have an opportunity to complain about it. And if we do complain about something, I believe God will help us to see that and get our train back on the right track again. Take your Bible, look at Psalm chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Look at Psalm chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. The book of Psalms, chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. Do this when you want to complain. When you get this desire, when you get this urge to just say something that you just want to complain about, do Psalm 3, verses 4 and 5 first. Look what David says here in verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and a lifter up of my... Verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. The time where you feel like complaining about something, instead of complaining, cry out unto the Lord with your voice, and he'll hear you out of his holy hill, and he'll keep you, and he'll sustain you. Flip over and look at Psalm chapter number 6. Psalm chapter 6. And verses 8 through 9. Look what it says. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Cry out to God instead. Flip over to chapter 18 in the book of Psalms. Chapter 18 and verse number 6. Look what the Bible says here. Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 6. David again speaks here and he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Let God hear rather your cry in the time of distress. The time like you feel like you can't handle it, like everything's coming in on you. Instead of complaining about what's coming in on you, cry out to God and he'll hear you from his holy temple. His ears will hear your cry. Cry out to God. Now, complaining brought the judgment of God upon those who complain. I'm not going to look at it if you want to turn there, but I'm going to read it real quick. Deuteronomy 4, 23 through 24 says this. It says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." You find that same statement in Hebrews. God is a consuming fire. Take your Bible and look at Revelation. Oh, give me 1 second. Revelation. Revelation 3 and verse 18. Revelation 3, verse 18. Revelation 3, verse 18. And look at Revelation 3:18. Look what the Lord Jesus says. He says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see." Look what the Lord says to this final. Look what he says in verse 19. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Do you see what the Bible, do you see what the Lord Jesus is saying there to the church of Laodicea? We are in the Laodicean age. We are in the Laodicean age, and look what the Lord says is in verse 18 and 19. What does he counsel the church in Laodicea to do? What does he counsel for us? He counsels that we buy of him gold, but not just any gold, gold that is tried in a fire. You know, you put gold in a pot and you melt it down, and then all the impurities come to the top, and you skim off, you have a special skimmer, and you skim off all those impurities. And then you bring it back up in the fire again, more impurities come up, and you skim off all the impurities to where ultimately you hopefully get pure gold. Jesus tells the church there in Laodicea, he says, "Listen, I counsel you to buy of me gold, but not just any gold, gold that is tried in the fire." Will you get into the fire this week? It's not fun to be in the fire. It's not fun to go into the fire in order for the Lord to purify you, to purify your walk with him, your daily walk with him. God wants to purify it to where it is pleasing unto him. We looked at it last week. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." What do you put a sacrifice on? You put it on an altar with fire underneath it. Jesus tells the church there in verse 19, "As many as I love." Jesus says, "As many as I love." Well, what's he going to show to us since he loves us? He's going to rebuke and chasten us. He's going to correct us. He's going to reprove us. He's going to instruct us. Why? Not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us. Because he wants us to have all that we possibly can have in this life when it comes to our walk with him in purity. He wants our walk to be so pure to bring honor and glory unto him and to be a light and a testimony to this world. You see, I don't desire to live a pure life or walk with God because I want others to see it for their purposes. No, I do it for my Savior, for Him, so that it's pleasing and glorifying honor to Him, so that when He looks at me, He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You see, all that we do is for Him, for His glory, for His honor, for His pleasure. Jesus says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." So this week, when a temptation comes to complain or to murmur about something or just to vent about how we feel, how we were treated, or what this person did to us, or how this person treated us, or how that cashier didn't say hi to me, or when it comes out of our mouth, "I can't believe they did that," take it to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to gain control in your life, to where instead of murmuring and complaining, you give thanks for it, even when you don't understand why to give thanks. The last scripture I'm going to close with this evening, or this morning, look at Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 17. Daniel 3, verse 17. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. You all know the story of Daniel, or not Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar, and how Nebuchadnezzar made this great image, this huge image there in the province of Babylon, and he commanded that all that, when they begin to hear the music, to fall down and worship this image. But look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto the king, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up." They took a correct stand with a correct attitude. And at this moment, they put the things of God before the things of man. Man says, "Here, you need to fall down and worship my image." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Sir, we're not going to fall down and worship your image." And they said that if it be so that we're tossed into the fiery furnace, our God's able to deliver us. And even if our God does not deliver us from death when we're tossed into the fiery furnace, we're still going to serve God. And he says in verse 19, "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one times more than it was wont to be heated." You see, their proper attitude, the proper way that they handle themselves, the godly way that they handle themselves, it only made the individual more angry, made the furnace even hotter. And you're going to see that occur in your life if you handle the situation the correct and godly way. Don't be surprised if the fire gets even hotter. Don't be surprised if the person gets even madder or more angry at you. Look what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're trying to live for God. They're trying to do it the right way. And what does it produce? Even more anger and fury because of the good that they're trying to do, because they're trying to live for God in the right way. But look what happens. Verse number 24. Well, verse 23. "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, 'Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said unto the king, 'True, O king.' And he answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.' Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither.' Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And look at us now. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Do you see what that produced? It produced a testimony not only to Nebuchadnezzar, but to the princes, governors, captains, king's counselors. What kind of testimony would it produce if we're thrown into the fire? And rather of complaining about being thrown into the fire, we worship God in the fire, and God sees us through that fire, and others take notice of it, and it begins to do something upon their heart when it comes to Jesus Christ. Don't expect co-workers to be so readily to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ if later on they hear you complaining about something. You're taking away the power. You're taking away what God's maybe trying to do. You're negating the good that you're doing by the complaining that you're complaining about. This is a hard thing to put into practice. This is a very, 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 very hard thing to put into practice. For me, it is. It's very difficult because in our society today, you're looked at as abnormal if you don't complain. Something's wrong with you if you don't murmur, if you don't have an attitude. I got thinking about it. It's no excuse where you live or what country you're in or what culture you've been brought up in to go against the Word of God. I've had missionaries before tell me, well, this is their culture. There's no culture where sin is acceptable. Sin is sin if it's in Haiti. Sin is sin if it's in the Dominican Republic. Sin is sin no matter where you're at. God's standards and God's word doesn't change just because now you're in Mexico, and because you're in Mexico and it's your culture, it's okay to do this specific sin because it's just your culture. Absolutely not. It's still sin. And this thing of murmuring and complaining is wrong no matter where you go. Well, I was just raised up north, so this is just the way I was raised. That's not right with God. And that excuse won't hold up in eternity when you stand before the Savior. It don't matter where we've been raised. It doesn't matter how we've been raised. If you're saved, you have the power of God dwelling within you, and it is possible to live right, pure, and holy for our Savior. If you come to me, what does the Bible say in Philippians? For with Christ all things are possible. If you come to me and say, Preacher, I just can't do that, then maybe you're not saved then. Maybe you need to check up and make sure you know the God that I know, that you have the Savior I have, then you've been born in the Spirit like I've been born in the Spirit. Because with God, all things are possible. It is possible to do right. It is possible to go through life and not complain. It is possible to go through life and not murmur. But I didn't say it's going to be easy. Actually, I think it's going to be very difficult. It's like praying for patience. Look, if you strive this week not to complain, the enemy is going to drop in front of you everything there is to complain about. He's going to push your buttons. And we all got certain buttons. When they're pushed, look out, buddy. Here comes out the real person. We all got them. We all got that special little red button somewhere. When it's pushed, look out. Here the real person comes out now. The fake Christianity is put off to the side. The real person's coming out now because my button's been pushed. And each one of us in here, each one of us in this room, some of you are laughing because you know I'm telling the truth. We all got that special little button. And the enemy knows exactly what it is. And he says, and that's his thing. Yeah, keep going. And the enemy knows just the right time to push that little button, and poof, Let's not be ignorant of his devices. If we do happen to lose it, make it right. Because there's power in making it right too. There's power in that. There is power in saying, I'm sorry. When you did complain or you did lose it, there's power in that as well. You see, God can still get the glory through it. Just don't quit. Just don't give up. If you're going to struggle this week to not try to complain, I'll be praying for you. You pray for me that we come back next week and we can say we got an A+. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help me with this, dear God. This is, Lord, for me. Others might have no problem with this, but Lord, for me, Lord, it's a very difficult thing to try to put into practice, to just not complain. Lord, it's just so easy to complain. Lord, Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help me this week, Lord, to minimize. Lord, I'd like to get to the point to where I don't complain, but Lord, I pray in reality, Lord, you'd help me to minimize the times that I do complain or murmur about something that occurs, Lord, just doesn't go my way. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd give me the strength and the help, Lord, at those times where I do fall, Lord, those times where Chris Welton does complain about something, dear God, that you'd quickly bring it to my memory, Lord. You'd quickly bring it to my attention so that I can make it right with you, Father. Lord, I don't want to displease you, dear God. And Lord, I believe nobody in this church, Lord, they're truly striving to try to live for you. They don't want to displease you either, dear God. Lord, help us to be saved of individuals that bring you pleasure, glory, and honor because you're worthy of it. Lord, help us to have the true power you desire to have in our lives. And help us learn to yield and submit to your rebuke, to your correction, to your chastening. Because, Lord, help us to remember that you're doing it in love. Because you love us, you care for us, and you desire for us to have that pure gold tried in the fire. Help us now through this week. Lord, help us through the rest of this day. I pray you bring everybody home safely, Lord. And Lord, if it be your will, Lord, you bring us back again safe this evening. And Lord, just watch over us, we ask. We pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Love you. You're dismissed. And Lord willing, see you tonight. Amen.